This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello, everyone. It's a new week here on Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, the number one betting podcast in association with Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. I'm Nigel Seeley, your host, and I'm joined by our senior ATP Tour handicapper. It's Sean Calvert. Sean, A great week over in Monte Carlo. Some brilliant tennis. Honestly, it was one of the best tournaments I've seen this year. Really got involved in tennis again. Really sort of felt really great about it. I was out there. I loved every minute of being out there in the south of France. But how are you, my friend?
I'm all right. I didn't have the joy of Monte Carlo last week. I did walk over the roof of the O2 with my little boy yesterday on a little sort of day out, so to speak. That was quite good. Apart from the fact that don't know, the people that don't know the O2 Arena, its roof is actually kind of latex, like a thick, really thick rubber. So obviously, and predictably, Lagan was just bouncing up and down on it when he was trying to walk over the top. You're not supposed to do that technically, but you get some nice views of London. It's quite a nice thing to do. So yeah, I did that yesterday.
And you had a brilliant day. What a lovely day to do it.
Beautiful. Yeah, a bit windy. Once you get up to the top, it is a little bit windy, but you're obviously strapped in or whatever, so it's not too bad. And today I watched his football team lose 1-0.
Still at the same team. He's still persevering.
He is at the moment. Well, there's not a lot I can do at the minute. But their season comes to an end in a couple of weeks, so we'll see after that, because I'm not enamoured with quite a lot of things that are going on there.
I'm not happy with the coaching. Was it under 10?
He plays in the under 10s, even though technically he should be playing under 9. So he's playing a year up. Which isn't ideal either, but we'll see what happens on that squad. I'll keep you all posted.
I was manager of my son's football team for probably 6 years, and it's nothing worse than a bossy parent telling me what
exactly.
To do.
I don't tell him what to do. I've just let him get on with it, and then I just complain on the sidelines. I think that's much fairer way of doing it.
I don't like bossy parents.
I'm not bossy. I don't tell him what to do. I've never once told him what to do. I mean,
but you would like to, though, wouldn't you?
Clearly there's no training. They don't train properly. They just have a kickabout on a Saturday and then they go, oh, by the way, there you go. There's the match Sunday. Nothing's ever done. They're not shown how to do anything. They're not put in positions. There's nothing.
It's difficult though, that age, because this is a tennis podcast, but if you haven't tuned this, it's not like an under nine. But it's very, there he's got the attention span is very slim. It's very hard. They don't really earn positions. But when you see other teams, they're really drilled.
Yeah, these aren't, whatever the opposite of drilled is, that's what this lot are.
Yeah, undrilled. Yeah, okay, enough about Lagans. That's for another day. Let's do a podcast another day. So, Monaco, amazing. What an amazing week I had over there. Fantastic.
I'd like it. It looks too busy. It looks packed.
We had the seat in the sunshine. You didn't even have to move. Then you timed your exits from the match. So when Djokovic finished, he was going to the Djokovic match. He beat Mazzetti. When he went a break up, we left. And then there's no problem at the bar. Nice to have your lunch. Then obviously when Mazzetti won that second set, it was crazy. When Djokovic won the second set, it was crazy. So if you can time your exit right, it's brilliant. But the tennis was great. The setting is unbelievable. I mean, I don't think there's a better part of the world than that south of France.
It does look nice. I just know it would annoy me. I could just, all them people.
You would love Nice. I promise you, you will love Nice. We'll go up next year. Hopefully we'll be doing this for many years, but if we're not doing this, we'll go to Nice. Nice is fantastic.
It's honestly Normally my birthday that week, but the problem is it's half term. I can't really go away at half term without incurring an awful lot of problems here at the Calvert homestead.
Anyway,
I've got 12 months to think
about
it.
So you never mentioned last week.
I forgot. It was my birthday last week. Always is Monte Carlo.
51, is it, Sean?
That well in it, to be honest. What's that?
51.
Yeah, last year, yeah.
So you're 50. You're 52 this year.
Oh, I am, yes. I know it's hard to believe. I know it's hard to believe my youthful good looks and vigour and all that, but 52, yeah.
But not only was it a good week for us, we did a podcast last week, and obviously we tipped Alcaraz to win the tournament. Now, Bet Rivers, They're not the best. They are the best bookmaker of tennis for a reason, because they keep some of the players that we like on this show very, very short in the betting. And Stefanos Tsitsipas, we mentioned, we thought he was value. I know you bet him. I know I bet him. With rivals to bet Rivers, which is fantastic. But they were 16-1, which we never felt value, but 33-1. We both had a little bit on 33-1. So it's quite, you know,
it wasn't value at 16s at all. You can't take it.
Round of applause to Bet Rivers for keeping the price 16-1, but also a round of applause for us both there for betting him at 35-1. So Bet Rivers was very shrewd on Tsitsipas, and we mentioned about him. You know, obviously, we mentioned about him to win the French Open as well at 25-1. Bet Rivers is 16-1 now. Now, they may have been the shortest price to win in Monte Carlo, but they're the best price now to win the French Open. And with Alcaraz, we're going to come on to him in a minute, with his injury problems, Djokovic not playing very well, Sinner cramping up, getting injuries again in a best of three in Monte Carlo in mild conditions. That Tsitsipas still at 16-1 does tempt me, you know. 8-1 with some of the books.
It looks open now, doesn't it? Well, this week's going to be interesting because obviously Nadal's back in action, and apparently he's ripping it. Apparently he crushed Rublev in a practice set the other day. I'm not saying his value to win the French Open by any means, of course not. But he's going to come into the equation potentially with a good week this week. You know, Djokovic question marks, Alcaraz question marks, Sinner question marks. So yeah, it's looking quite open, which is nice. For a French Open, it's normally not particularly open, so to speak. But yeah, this will be interesting.
Well, these are live now. Bet Rivers prices plus 180. Alcaraz injured. Novak Djokovic plus 220. Not his best of form. Yannick Sinner plus 350. Injury concerns. And Rafa Nadal, we don't know. 6-1. Holger Rune 14-1. Zverev 15. Casper Ruud 16. And Stefanos Tsitsipas, who just beat Casper Ruud, very, very convincingly to extend the head-to-head against him for 16-1 as well. So I still think Tsitsipas at 16-1 is the value. He's obviously been a beaten finalist here as well. So that is a few months away. Starts in the beginning of May. So we are just almost seven or eight weeks away now from the start of the French Open. Everything will be covered here on Betting Weekly Game.
It's the end of May, isn't it?
Is it? I thought it was the.
Yeah, it's the end of May.
That's the final. Is the 9th of June? Sorry. Yeah. Do you know what it was? Can I give you my reasoning? Because sometimes when I look at American websites, which I'm looking at the Bet Rivers website now,
yes,
I always get confused because they have the...
Oh, the wrong way around, yeah.
Date first, and we have the date. So yeah. I get a little bit sometimes confused. The old brain doesn't...
I've got mine manually on a calendar just over my shoulder there, so I can always rely on that.
I just look at that, and I've got 20 seconds to digest it into the brain, and what comes out of the mouth doesn't really... Anyway, it's the end of May, and the final is on the 9th of June. So Sean is absolutely right there, but I got a bit confused about the dates. But almost 7 or 8 weeks away now from that, so we're looking forward to that coming up. And everything will be covered here on the build-up to the second major of 2024. And the build-up to the French Open, obviously the clay court swing is coming into Europe now, and it's sort of begins with the Monte Carlo and it goes into Barcelona, but the whole market has been thrown into disarray this evening early hours today because Carlos Alcaraz, the number one seed, has withdrawn from the tournament. Obviously, withdrawn in Monte Carlo, he's got an injury concern, he can't play in the tournament here, and that has really shaken up the whole draw. So, as we're recording this now at 6 o'clock local time here in London, which is 1 p.m. Eastern time, there is no odds on the BetRivers website on the outright market in Barcelona, which is the big event of the week. It's the 500 event this week. So it's quite hard for us to actually go into the odds. But let me just, because there isn't any. So let's give you
It's impossible.
We have a 32-man draw. We have players through, sorry, it's a 48-player draw. We have 16 players through to the second round, and they're already through. And then two players play for the right to play the seeded players. Now, as we stand, the draw, as is this, Marazan is number, replaced Rublev in the draws, sorry, has replaced Alcaraz at the top of the draw in the number one position, but he's ranked 17. Borna Koric is in that section, Lorenzo Musetti, Tsitsipas, fresh from the win at Monte Carlo, Dinoir, Artur Fis, Davidovic, Bikina, and Humbert. That is the top half of the draw. The bottom half of the draw is Bays, Jarry, Thompson, Ruud, Khachanov, Norrie, Echeverry and Rublev, but obviously there's some players to go into the draw. We cannot talk about the outright market. We do not know any prices. But Sean, what we do know is the conditions. We can give some trends and we can go on to some match betting. But at the moment, it's a very, very hard sort of position to talk about how we are in Barcelona.
Yeah, it's impossible to talk about the outright market because we don't have any odds. But to conditions wise, it's usually, I was there last year, it's usually sort of slowish. They really layer on the clay here. It's quite a thick red clay that they use in Barcelona. They water it quite a lot as well. So particularly if the sun's out. So it's generally not particularly quick here. It's normally one for the real clay dogs. Not many hard quarters do particularly well here, generally. The average is 73% holds and 67% first serve points won, which is almost the same as Monte Carlo. So if you think it's a similar speed, if you think of what you've seen at Monte Carlo this week, Barcelona will be the same. And even last year, it was only 70% holds of serve. And it wasn't wet or damp last year. It wasn't hot, but it was a kind of typical 18, 19, 20. 20 degrees sort of week, similar to what we just had in Monte Carlo where you were. So it's going to be that very, very similar conditions, actually. Tiebreak matches, only 26% of the matches have featured a tiebreak on average, which is actually 2% fewer than Monte Carlo. And there was only 6 matches out of 45 last year that featured a tiebreak. Unders cashes an awful lot of the time if you're taking 22 and a half games. A lot of these lines probably won't be 22 and a half games, but if you're taking 22 and a half as a benchmark, that's cashed 64% of the time in the last 5 editions. Plenty of straight sets wins here. You don't get too many long matches generally in Barcelona. It's not normally fabulous for underdogs either. Underdog backers, slightly better than Monte Carlo, 29% on average. And the best round is the first round at 36%. As far as the weather's concerned, the weekend we've just had, it was pretty warm. Monday will be reasonably warm as well, 22, but the rest of the week drops down to about 16 or 18 degrees. So not massively warm, kind of similar. Everything's pretty similar to Monte Carlo, basically. As far as the trends are concerned, very, very strong trends on the outrights. It's been won by one of the top 5 seeds every single year since 2005. And even that 2005 year, Nadal won it, but he was seeded 8th. I should imagine he was pretty near the top of the market, but yeah, so one of the top 5 seeds every year for almost 20 years. Number one seeds won it in 6 of the last 9 editions. That obviously won't be happening this year because the number one seed is no longer in it. Do you know who the last unseeded winner was here at Barcelona? If you do, I'll be impressed.
No, I don't.
Gaston Gaudio in 2002. So it generally goes to one of the top, very, very top players. Last qualifier to make the semis was way back in 2004, which was Christoph Bliegen, who now coaches Griekspor.
There you have it. Looking at the draw, though, I mean, is there any players that you're sort of looking at, sort of thinking about maybe potentially waiting for the line to come out, thinking they could be an interest to me? If you look at the previous winners, Alcaraz has won it last year, the year before, obviously not there. Rafa Nadal has won it 12 times. I mean, he's the unknown quantity in it. And I can understand why the books are actually been a little bit careful going up with the odds, because not only is the number one seed not participating in the tournament, which is a big way for rejigging the market, but you've got a guy in Rafa Nadal who could be an even money favourite to win his tournament. He could be a 20-1 shot to win his tournament. That's the uncertainty we have with the 12 times winner here.
Yeah, I mean, the only information we have is the reports that are going around, which is that he's been playing really well in practice. He beat Rublev 6-1 apparently in a practice set the other day. The problem is how long is he going to be able to play at that level? Assuming he is at that level, assuming he comes in against Caboli in the first round, plays at that level, is he going to be able to play that level for one match and then not be able to play the rest of the tournament for another injury? It's just a question of how long his body's going to hold up. Nobody knows that, not even Nadal. So it's I can understand why he's a short price. I imagine when the odds come out, he's going to be a fairly short price for this. But it is complete guesswork. If you're looking at possibilities, and I've looked at this draw long and hard, in the top half of the draw, Musetti, potentially semi-finalist last year. Tsitsipas, obviously, depending on how well he recovers from his exertions in Monte Carlo. Obviously, Nadal. Davidovich Rakina has gone well in the past, but he's in absolutely no sort of form. He's going to bounce back, you would think, at some sort of Davidovich. Maybe if he's a massive price, that could go onto your shortlist. The bottom half of the draw looks really wide open, though, doesn't it? Andre Rublev, whose confidence must be in his boots at the moment, is the number two seed. You wouldn't back him to win a tournament at the moment. Not the way he's playing, not the way he's feeling. Is there anyone else in there other than Casper Ruud that potentially could win that bottom half of the draw? I'm thinking maybe Baez at his best, but he tends to be at his best in South America. He's not got a great record against top 10 players. not got a great record against Casper Ruud either. Nicholas Jarry maybe, but he was injured. Had a groin problem, I think, last week in Monte Carlo in the doubles. Had an issue there. Kashanov also had a physical problem. I think you probably know better than me. You were watching him against Tsitsipas. He had an injury, didn't he, Kashanov?
I watched him play Medvedev. And he...
Okay. I think he had an injury against...
It was Tsitsipas.
Tsitsipas, I think, yeah. So he's not fully fit. You know, Cam Norrie's not in form. Echeverri's taking his time to get back to form. So very, very difficult. If Baez is a big price, I might be interested. Similarly, Jarry. But other than that, it looks kind of a good opportunity for Casper Ruud. That said, he's never been past the quarterfinals here, Casper Ruud. So, you know, we need to see the odds, but some sort of vague ideas there.
Yeah, very difficult. And I think it's so difficult with Nadal. Nadal in the market is the thing here. I mean, if Nadal's fit and he's well with no after round one, where if he's on the business and he should win this tournament pretty comfortably if he's showing any sign of his form. But if he's not fit, then obviously that's a huge factor. So I can understand why the books or Bet Rivers are waiting to see the prices here and there, because it's a very difficult market. Alcaraz is out. Casper Ruud's just travelled back. Tsitsipas just travelled back from Monte Carlo. And obviously we have Nadal, the 12 times winner in it, which is a bit of an unknown. But we do have one match that you want to talk about. It's Luca Van Ash against Jinjiang Yang. Minus 120 for Van Ash. Yang is minus 104. The spread here is -1.5. Van Ash is +105, -134 for Yang. And the total, you mentioned 22.5 being the sort of stable number in it. 22.5 is the number here. And it's over -112, under -114. They met once before back in 2022 in a challenger event in France, and Van Ash won in three sets. But Van Ash hasn't won a match yet on clay this year. Hasn't won a match on indoor court either. He's had a very, very poor start to the year. Hasn't won in his one match in his last four starts in the first round in Miami against Kotov. I'm guessing you quite like Zhang here.
Yeah, there's no basis on clay statistics for Van Asher being the favorite for this match, none whatsoever. If you look at the last 12 months on clay at main level, Van Asher 42% win rate, Zhang 61%. Van Asher service points won and return points won total 96. Zhang, 99. Van Asher's service hold and break total, 92. Zhang, 100. So he's some way ahead in terms of win rate, in terms of all the other statistics that I just mentioned there. He holds serve 11% more often than the weak serving Van Asher. His serve isn't any sort of a weapon, really, Van Asher, and even less so on clay and slowish clay like this Barcelona surface. Zhang also wins 6% more second serve points on those numbers. And as you said, Van Ash has lost both of his clay court matches so far this swing as favourite for both of them, by the way, one against Munar and the other one against Altmaier. So I'm not sure why Van Ash is favourite here. Maybe the layers are seeing something I'm not, but statistically, I'm more than happy to take Zhang at these odds.
Zhang is the bet. Is it official bet, Sean?
Yeah, I think it's decent value. I mean, Van Ash might win this match, of course, but not for me at that price. I think Zhang is definitely the value.
Yeah, Van Ash is in great form. He's minus 120. We're going to go for Zhang to win the match at minus 104. So that's how, unfortunately, we can't really do much more on Barcelona because there is no outright odds. If there is anything that Sean likes, we'll post it on the Twitter account or on the Instagram account. So be across all our socials at Because We Win on both of those platforms. And if there's anything there Sean likes, he will post up probably tomorrow morning or something like that with a time difference. So we've got plenty of time to get any bets on when the draw does come out, or the odds do come out after the draw and after the draw of Alcaraz. So stay across all our Instagram accounts and our Twitter account, and you will be able to see any bets we have on that. Okay, let's move on to the two other tournaments this week. They're both 250 events, and we do have outright markets. The first one is in the BMW Open over in Munich in Germany. Before we go on to the odds and the draw, what are the conditions like over in Germany?
I think we're going to have a big problem here, to be honest. I've never, in all my years of not only doing this show, but doing tennis previews, I've never looked at a weather forecast and seen snow in the forecast.
Wow, snow?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's 25 degrees today in Munich, and that's the end of the sun. It dips to 8 degrees by Tuesday during the day. Rain's expected every single day, according to the forecast. A lot of wind as well, and it's supposed to snow. So at some point during the night. Obviously, when the night gets even slower than
the
80s.
When is the snow due? Is that Tuesday, Wednesday?
Towards the end of the week, sort of Thursday, Friday, yeah.
Because there's a big Champions League game there as well. You know, you've got Arsenal going there, the Champions League against Bayern Munich as well, which is another factor as well.
Okay, well, they better pack their underlayers. Yeah. It's going to be, obviously, that's going to be a night match as well, isn't it? So that could be like, you know, 2-3 degrees when they're playing, depending on when they're playing. So that kind of weather front is affecting quite a bit of Europe this week. But I couldn't believe it when I looked at it. Snow. I've never known that. But that's going to be a problem, because not so much the snow, but the fact that every single day it's talking about rain and 8 degrees. I mean, it's going to be grim. It's going to be a tournament for the people that really want it, and I'll come on to that in a minute. I'll talk about the conditions first. There is a bit of altitude here at 500 meters, but usually, and this is going to be the case this week as well, the damp weather does tend to flatten out any speed advantage that the altitude provides. It's going to be medium. The altitude gives it a bit of pop, but the dampness slows it down. Averages 76% holds and 68% first serve points wins, are slightly quicker than Monte Carlo and Barcelona historically, but as I say, it's going to be a bit slower. Tiebreak matches 33% on average, so slightly more than Monte Carlo and Barcelona. You'd expect that with a slight altitude. Again, unders cashed 56% of the time in the last five editions. That's under 22.5 games. Again, not a fabulous one for underdogs. 29% on average win. And the best round, weirdly, is the semi-finals, where 37% of the underdogs win. And that could be the same this week as well, because I can see some players just wanting to just leave. If they're so far behind in the schedule, it's Madrid next week, where it's obviously going to be a lot warmer where I'll be. So it's no surprise that the semi-finals potentially do have more underdog winners. As I say, weather looks awful. It's fine today. The rest of the week looks shocking. As far as the trends are concerned, only 3 number one seeds have won this title here in the last 16 years. There's been a big old list of big price winners, finalists, qualifiers have got a decent record as well, although I'm not so sure about this year's qualifiers. I haven't looked at who they are, but qualifiers do have a good record. So that's the situation in Munich. It could be a washout.
And the number one seed here is the countryman, Alexander Zverev, who is the number one seed here, and he's going to be close up to being the tournament favourite. He's just a joint tournament favourite. Come on to the odds in a minute. But if you look at the draw, it's a 32-man draw. The top four seeds get byes through to the second round. The second round byes go to Zverev, number one seed, Fritz, number three seed in the top half. In the bottom half, it's Jan-Lennard Struff and Holger Rune. And then we have other seeds, Kopfer, the German player in the top half, alongside Jack Draper, Felix Auger-Aliassime, Leonard Struff, Shevchenko, and Rune in the bottom of the draw, as long as some other players as well, all in that draw as well. It's not going to take much winning this tournament, really, with the snow around. And Sean just said there that it's about who wants to win it. If you look at the previous winners, Rune won it in 2023. Rune also won it in 2022. Basilashvili won it in 2021. Garin won it in 2019. And Zverev has won it twice before in 2018 and 2017. The odds, Holger Rune is plus 240. He got three, did well in Monte Carlo. Lost to Sinner, but played very well. Alexander Zverev hasn't come into his tournament in great form. He's plus 240 as well. Taylor Fritz at 6. I wouldn't fancy him in the snow. He's just one player I wouldn't fancy in the snow on the clay over in Germany. Jan-Lennard Struff is 12. Felix Auger-Aliassime is 14. Jack Draper, 14. Christian Garin, 20. Bosic van der Sandschrift, 20. Then we go down into some big prices. Dominic Thiem, 25. Yannick Hampferman, 30. Christopher O'Connell, 30. And then Mickelson at 33-1, and so on and so forth. But bearing in mind these conditions on outside clay in this freezing cold, I can imagine maybe some withdrawals here. I can imagine some people not really fancying it. You said there who you think, you know, the attitude of the players is the most important thing when you're placing the bet on here. But going through that list, it's quite hard to find anyone I think would be motivated to play in those conditions.
Well, I think I know two that will be.
Okay.
The first one is Yannick Hanfman. Absolutely loves playing here, does Hanfman. He said, let's get his quote. "I love this court very much," he said a couple of years ago. "I really like it here. It's close to my practice court in Munich. The altitude is great." So this is a guy very, very familiar with the conditions. It's his favorite. He also listed on the ATP website, this is his favorite tournament of the year. it would be a dream for him to win this tournament. He's not going to want to leave and head over to Madrid. He's going to be hanging around. If he thinks there's a chance of winning this tournament, he will be absolutely there. Knows the conditions better than anyone. I think he lost to Holger Rune last year. But I feel like this is a week where motivation is going to be the key. Holger Rune, incidentally, he was moaning a couple of days ago about having to play twice in one day because of the rain delay in Monte Carlo. And that was Monte Carlo. Imagine how he's going to feel about here. I mean, I know he's a two-time finalist. He was incredibly lucky to win it last year, by the way. Van der Zandschulp did an epic meltdown from a seemingly unassailable position. Van der Zandschulp should have won the title. Rune ended up collecting it from him. So you might say Rune, yeah, he's won here a couple of times. Yeah, he likes playing here, whatever. But is he going to want to be playing in like 8 degrees? Two matches, maybe three matches in a day, depending on how this rain pans out. The forecast isn't always accurate, of course. But Hanfman, I'm pretty sure as I can be, he's going to be 1,000% motivated for this tournament. Similarly, Jan-Lennard Struff, obviously a German, former finalist here, lost to Basilashvili a couple of years ago. He would absolutely love to win this title as well. Decent clay stats, look to be coming back to the form we saw from him 12 months ago in Monte Carlo. He looked like he was sort of playing that way again, a little bit, lost to Yannick Sinner. No, you know, no disgrace in that. So the two motivated guys for me, Hanfman and Struff. Hanfman 30-1, Struff 12-1, I think. They're both in the bottom half of the draw, but I'll be taking both of those each way. I feel like they're going to be more motivated than pretty much anybody else.
I think that's very important. I mean, Zverev obviously got a bit of motivation being a German in Germany. And he won, obviously, the tournament in Hamburg.
He's got Fritz, a fancy record here, that's for sure.
Fritz, you can't fancy Fritz. You can't fancy Draper. You know, his body will freeze in that kind of conditions.
The problem with Draper is he'll probably have to play two matches in a day with his body. I wouldn't be keen on that.
Yeah, and for the reasons you stated, Runes, it's really a sort of a breaking it down and see what's left in the draw. You can make put lines for everyone and just leave the two. Hanfman there is a great price there. The quotes there, Sean made out 33-1 currently with Bet Rivers. And we have Felix, and the other one is Jan-Lennard Struff at 12-1. But at Hanfman price, I think it's 30 now, 30-1 with Bet Rivers. I think that's a really, really nice place. So we've got, and it, obviously it's a 250 as well. So, like, you know, people don't, you know, you don't usually get the fact that you want to take on the favourites in 250 events. So,
well, particularly really nice ways, as I say, the only three number one seeds have won it in the last 16 years. So it's not.
And that was when the weather was nice.
It's never nice in Munich. That's why I've never been.
We need the Ruzavori in there, someone like that who can sort of be used to the cold, freezing cold.
You would think Rune, coming from Norway, would be Denmark even, same thing.
Scandinavia.
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 Yeah, I always get him and Rude mixed up, get the countries mixed up, unfortunately. But you wouldn't have thought he would moan about it too much. However, I'm pretty sure he would moan if he had to play a couple of matches in a day, a couple of times. And with his record of cramping and injuries and all the rest of it, assuming that weather forecast is correct. If the weather forecast is wrong, then everything I've just said is irrelevant. But
yeah, and we have had that before.
We have had that before. Yeah, Hamburg last year, for example, when it said it was going to be a wash.
Home as well was going to be. Yeah. We wouldn't get any game matches at all. But
for them to predict snow, I mean, it doesn't look great, does it? It could be a really interesting week in Munich.
A very interesting week. I've lost a little bit of concentration in the last 5 minutes because I don't know if we're filming this at sort of local time, about 6:30 over in the UK.
Is this to do with Villa by any chance?
Yeah. If anyone had watched the Betting Weekly Premier League show, you would see my biggest bet of the season this year was on Aston Villa plus 1.75 goals in the Asian handicap. And I also told everyone that Aston Villa would beat Arsenal today, and they went 10-1 when I told them. They went out to 12-1, and they've just beaten Arsenal 2-0. So for the last 5 minutes, I've seen two goals going, and I'm trying to talk about, and I've got a little bit carried away. I've seen money signs in my head. So yeah.
Good tip. Great tip.
Yeah, well, listen, I've been dreadful this season. So even a broken clock is right twice a day. So I'll bear with it. Anyway, let's move on to the tennis. Munich, you got one bet for sure. What's the match you like? It's Max Hans Ryberg up against Alex Mikkelsen. Now, to be honest with you, I don't really know hardly anything about Max Hans Ryberg, but I'm sure you're going to tell us all about him. He is an underdog here. There was money for him. It was plus 215 with Bet Rivers. He's now plus $2. Mikkelsen was minus 278, and he is now minus 250. The American, who is going to go well, but I'm not quite sure whether he's a clay court. He's played twice on clay this season and lost both his matches. Max Hans Ryberg hasn't won his match on clay yet this season. The spread here is 2.5, plus 125 for Hans Ryberg, minus 175 for Mickelson. And the total, again, is that common number, 22.5, plus 102 for over, minus 129 for under. So Mickelson comes in losing his last three matches. He hasn't won a match since the first round of Miami. I don't think Mickelson would like clay here, especially in the cold.
Yeah, this is about motivation. Again, this is just a lean, this one, but there's some reasonable reasons to not be confident about Mickelson at this price. You know, Rayberg's a highly motivated home player, gets a wild card. He's performed well here in the past against Mickelson, who's very inexperienced on the clay, particularly European clay. Mickelson's only played 10 matches in his entire career on any clay, and six of those were US clay. So he certainly isn't familiar with European clay conditions. I can't imagine for one minute he's experienced in European clay court conditions in the rain or the snow. And Rayberg's shown up well here in the past. He was very, very close to beating Marton Fucsovics here last year. He was a set and 4-1 up in that match, was Rayberg. Had two match points in the tiebreak. Ended up losing it in three sets. Similar situation the year before, 2022 in Hamburg. He played Kovalik. Joseph Kovalik. He was a set and 4-2 up there before losing in three sets. So this is a guy who is going to be very familiar with the conditions, played here before, obviously. Doesn't get many chances at this level yet. You know, he's a young guy. Against a player who's very inexperienced on clay in Mickelson. So I think if you're betting in this one, Rayberg to win the opening set is an obvious play at plus 170, roundabout. I don't think all the odds are quite up yet on the Bet Rivers website for this match, or Mickelson to win the match ultimately by 2-1 around about plus 265, I think that was. You know, Mickelson could win this match, obviously the higher ranked player, et cetera, but limitations on clay, seemingly. He certainly isn't proven on clay, and he certainly isn't proven on European clay. So I think Rayberg should fancy this. I should imagine this would be close.
Remember, these matches start 5 o'clock. Oh, sorry, apologies. I've got particularly throat. 5 o'clock at a.m. tomorrow morning, these matches start. The Rayberg match, Mickelson match, actually starts at 7:40 Eastern time. And remember, if you do place a bet with Bet Rivers, you can watch live and bet live on the Bet Rivers website from the comfort of your own home, owning your tablet or your mobile device. 28 different markets available now on the Bet Rivers website. So head across for Rayberg against Mickelson. And you need to go across now because it's 7:40 a.m. start on Monday morning. Now, these podcasts we do on a Sunday when there's three tournaments, we cram as much as we possibly can into because it's three tournaments, hard to get through. And we have three tournaments this week. It's the Tiriac Open over in Bucharest, named after the great player who played for Romania. And not one of the best fields you'll see in the world, Sean, here over on the clay over there. It's a new tournament. It was a 125 tournament, but it's been obviously put onto the 250 event. So the list of winners is irrelevant. You know, the form here really isn't something to go by. But what are the conditions? I mean, this must be a little bit hot. I don't think we're going to have snow over here, are we, in Romania?
No, well, not this time of the year. Not according to my forecast. Yeah, this tournament was on the tour, you know, for quite a few years, but it lost its license back in 2016 when the license moved to Budapest. Then they lost the license. Then it moved to Belgrade. Then it went to Banja Luka. Now it's back at Bucharest. So there are some stats, but they're from many years ago. You know, as I said, not been played since 2016. Last five editions that were played on the ATP Tour averaged 76% hold, 68% first serve points won. So on that, it's just a touch quicker than Monte Carlo and Barcelona, kind of similar to Munich. But we are guessing because it's not been played for so long. As far as the weather is concerned, similar kind of pattern to Munich, but not nowhere near as extreme. 31 degrees, so very warm on Monday. Tuesday, also very warm, 29. Then the rain kicks in on Wednesday, a kind of a thundery, showery type affair, bringing it down to 23. And then it dips down to 13 on Thursday. So it's a similar pattern of a cold and wet front coming in. It's just not quite as extreme as what's predicted in Munich. So it makes it difficult for bettors because you're starting the week 31 degrees, 29 degrees. So you're thinking, okay, it's going to play quite quick. But by the end of the week, you've had 3 days of rain and it's going to be about 14 degrees. So it makes it tough because you can't you can't isolate one player and say, well, he'll like the conditions, because the conditions are going to change quite markedly. So it's a tricky one. We've got nothing to work on in the past. The conditions are going to change. So this for me is the trickiest puzzle of the week.
Yeah. Let's look at the draw. 32 players in the draw, 4 seeds, very similar to the tournament over in, where we saw that, the last one, BMW Munich. Very similar. Serendulu is the top seed, the top 4 seed through to the second round, and the other players play for the right to play through to the last 16. So Serendulu's in the last 16 is number 1 seed. Number 2 seed is Griekspor. Number 3 seed is Korda in the top half of the draw alongside Serendulu. In the bottom half of the draw, Tabilo. The other seeds in the top half, Navone, we have Martinez to make up the top half of the draw alongside Serendulu and Korda. In the bottom half of the draw, we have Sonego and we have Borges. Let's have a look at some outright markets here. And now the outright markets here, really, I mean, it's anyone's guess. You know, it's plus 650 Lorenzo Sonego to win a tournament. I mean, that to me just sums up the tournament we have here. Sebastian Korda, another inconsistent, could win it very easy, $7. Francisco Serendula plus 750. Talon Griekspor, dreadful on clay, really, plus 850. Tabilo 11, Martinez 14, Kekmanovic 16, Borges 16, 18, Darderi 18, Fuksovic 18, Stanislav Slavinka 18. Then we go into Kokonakis, Shapovalov at 20, Mute 22, Rindenek and Seyweth Wheel at 22. Now, I actually looked at this draw myself. I had a little because I like these tournaments where
so
favorites are like $7 and $8. I quite like the tournament. And I've come up with someone at quite a nice price. Now, okay. I'm not going to say who it is, but I don't like Sonego. I don't like Korda. Definitely don't like Griekspor. Can't have Tabilo. So I would like to hear what you have to say, and then I'll tell you my reasoning behind my pick. And hopefully we're on the same page.
Well, I haven't got an official pick here, so...
Well, I don't want that pressure. I've spent years having that kind of pressure. I don't want that pressure. I just like.
So have I.
Yeah, I know, but I like to be the host. I don't want the pressure. But I'll tell you what. I thought Shapovalov here at 22 to 1 was a decent price. Seems a little bit of size improvement. A little bit size improvement.
I'll be honest with you. I've made a mental case for about 7 or 8 of these, and then kind of talk myself out of it. Shapovalov's quite capable of winning.
Was he in them 7 or 8 though?
He was in the 7 or 8. Yeah, but the
problem
is
that's encouraging.
He's playing Mute in the first round. That's the problem. And if you're betting on Mute against Shapovalov, you're a much braver person than me. I mean, that match could be absolutely anything, and probably will be. It's always worth watching, by the way. If that's
great trading in play betting with Bet Rivers, make sure you get involved in that one. That's the question.
Yeah. I mean, Mute is worth watching it. And in any situation, pretty much, he's one of the most entertaining players on tour. The one I was kind of leaning towards was Kekmanovic, but what puts me off is the weather. If it's going to get a lot slower towards the end of the week, that's a bit of a negative for me. He's got the sort of clay court stats that you want to win a tournament like this. Very, very inconsistent player. Obviously, that's why you're getting 16-1, I think, with BetRivers to win this tournament. But I just can't settle. I can't settle on one because of the changing conditions. The draw is kind of there's no one whose path I think is quite nice compared to their price. You know, Korda could win this tournament if he turns up, but equally his forehand could be leaky and he could lose his first match against maybe Kokkinakis, maybe. But he's still playing in Sarasota at the moment, Kokkinakis, so he's got a long journey to come. You know, you've got Darderi who's playing really well on the clay. He might lose to Navone in the first round. That's going to be a tough match. Similarly, Seyboth Wild entered my thinking. Potentially, he could lose to Nardi, who's in good form as well. It's a really tricky puzzle. I could make a case for probably 10, 12 of these.
You've got 5 a minute ago. You only said
no, but that was the serious consideration. The sort of, yeah, maybe sort of consideration was at least a dozen. Yeah, I'm not having an outright here. Not until the first round's completed, then it'll be a different story. I need to know what's going on with a more clearer picture. This is too tricky for me. I'm not.
It also depends on the speed of the court, really. I mean, like,
which is going to change from quick to stodgy if the weather forecast is correct.
Yeah.
So this is one of the trickiest puzzles of the year. This.
I did think Serendulo. I couldn't understand why Serendulo wasn't ahead of Sonego in the betting, for example.
I thought he was. I thought Serendula was favourite. Is he not?
No, no. He's plus 750. He's third favourite. Lorenzo Sonego's the favourite at 650. Serendula's right. The third favourite, plus 750.
Well, after watching him against Kashanov last week, I don't think I could back him at that price. His head just doesn't seem... The ability's there, for sure. Absolutely. If he's on form, he could win this tournament very comfortably, but the head doesn't look quite right to me. That's the problem with him. Similarly with Korda. Martinez has been playing well recently, but you know he's short enough now, isn't he? If this tournament was a month ago, it'd be about 50 to 1 Martinez to win this. Now he's what, 12, 14, something like that, 16? Yeah. So no value there, really. It's a no bet for me. Not until this first round of matches is finished, because it looks really, really trappy. I'll wait till the first round's finished. I can't pull the trigger on one here. Not me.
We do, however, have some bets on the first round, or some suggestions on some matching we'll at the first round in Bucharest. Obviously, this again is another early start, 5 o'clock Eastern time. The first match that we're going to speak about might actually not be played until Tuesday. I think both of these matches, actually, one of them is going to be played at 1 o'clock local time, which will be, what's that in America? 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. Is that right? No, 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock in the morning.
And qualies haven't finished yet either, I should just add, by the way. So whoever gets through the qualies, we don't know who that's going to be yet either. So that's another thing to throw into the mix.
Exactly. So it's a puzzle that we can't solve. So we're just going to leave it for now and try to solve easier puzzles this week. The match in Bucharest that we're going to speak about first is Borges against Wawrinka. Borges, the number 7 seed. Then this match, we do know, will not be played on Monday. It will be played on Tuesday. Borges is 2-1 on his gray court record. And he obviously played Musetti and pulled that fantastic performance. He played the great match of his life against Musetti and then got beat by Garin in the quarterfinal in Estoril. And he plays against Wawrinka. Now, Wawrinka, we know, is coming to the twilight of his career. He's, you know, he's aging a little bit. 2-4 on the clay court so far this season. But he's plus 108 here to win this. Borges is minus 139. I know you've been quite keen on Wawrinka matches in terms of finding angles on Wawrinka matches. You think he quite usually keeps it quite competitive for set number one. Borges obviously had that big win against Musetti. He didn't back it up against Garin. How do you see this one going?
I've got another theory here about Stan Wawrinka. Similar to the ones I've had in the last couple of shows. I mean, Borges is just, he's way too short based on the clay court stats over the last 12 months. You know, these aren't historical stats from when Wawrinka was a younger guy. These are from between the ages of 38 and 39. So now, last 12 months on this surface clay at main level, Borges, service points won and return points won, total of 99. Wawrinka, 101. Borges' service hold and break total is 95. Wawrinka is 102. So on the basis of that, you would think Borges is too short to win this match. You got to bear in mind that Wawrinka's legs will probably go if it goes to a third set. Now, Stan's been... The level is there. I just think the legs aren't anymore, which is kind of understandable at his age. If you look at what he's done in his opening sets recently, Wawrinka, he's won 6 of his last 11 opening sets. And 4 other ones he lost, either 7-6 or 7-5. Only twice in those 11 opening sets did he lose 6-3 or 6-4. And both of those occasions, he played top 20 opponents, Diminor and Adrian Mannarino. So on the clay court stats, you would just back Wawrinka on the money line. However, I'm not sure his legs have got it. And quite clearly, he's a much stronger starter now than he is a finisher. So the odds on set one Wawrinka, I think they're probably going to be around about 2.15-ish. I haven't seen the recent odds, but set one to Wawrinka is the appealing bet for me here. I'm going to take that as an official play.
Well, I'm going to look at that for you now. I'll get that price for you now. There's a lot of markets available there, and a lot of markets still to come, obviously, as we're recording this. You know, we've got some hours before the match starts. We'll move on to the next match, Gaston against Rinderknecht. Gaston here is plus 108. Rinderknecht is minus 139. The spread is 2.5. Plus 110 for Rinderknecht, giving up 2.5. Minus 150 for Gaston, receiving 2.5. Now, the interesting thing here about this match, and I was really interested in this, and I actually queried it with our graphic man, John. I said to him, John, you've made a clear mistake here. But he hadn't. The total games line is 24.5. Now, we very rarely see 24.5 in total games in matches in best of three sets. But
on clay as well.
Especially on clay. In 2023, they did play Gaston 1-7-6-6-4, which come in at 23. And in the Paris Masters, Gaston won again. And that wasn't over, 29. But I was really baffled to see why this match would be pitched at 24.5. Any inclination why you thought that might be?
No.
No, I was surprised by that.
I've no idea why it's 24.5, to be honest. That seems a very weird line. Unless they think they're playing on a different surface. I don't see how that can be. Even if they're playing on indoor harder or whatever, that's a very high line, isn't it?
Yeah. I thought it was a mistake. I genuinely thought it was a mistake. Obviously deduct his some of his wages, but it found that it was actually correct. He did have it the wrong way around on the graphic. We weren't for that, but
still a deduction then, isn't it?
Yeah, a little deduction. Only half a deduction. But anyway, but 24.5 baffled me. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I think there's a big chance for Rinderknecht. Yeah, if I remember rightly, I think we had Gaston when he beat Rinderknecht last time, because Rinderknecht has certainly been poor in recent times against left-handers. His forehand, his serving, his forehand are his shots, Rinderknecht. Backhand, not so great. So if we look at what he's done recently against left-handers, he's lost 8 of his last 11 matches, Rinderknecht, against left-handers at main level, including 2 against Gaston. Both of which, as you said, were on indoor hard, where you would think that Rinderknecht's power advantage would be key, but it hasn't been the case. Breaking it down a bit further, his last 10 matches at main level, Rinderknecht against left-handers, he's only broken serve 10% of the time, winning just 32% of return points. So he's not done anything on return of serve against lefties, presumably because they're angling the attack all towards his backhand side. His backhand return's not great. And the head-to-head, Gaston, who we know has got one of the weakest serves on tour, he's actually held serve 85% of the time against Rinderknecht. The worry here for me is Gaston's form. He's lost his last 6. If it wasn't for that, I would be very, very tempted to take Gaston on the money line here. It's a matchup problem for Rinderknecht. And if you are betting in this match and you're feeling brave because you need to be with Gaston, then I would certainly take him as dog here, yeah.
Yeah, Gaston is plus 108. He has a good record against his opponent, wins 2-0 on the head-to-heads. I would back on the 24.5. I know it's... I think 24, I think it's a very last...
That as well. I still think that's weird and wrong, but...
Very strange, very strange. I mean, it's not even a match that you would think, why would it be 24.5? There's no
not with
reason
Gaston, who doesn't hold... You know, he's got one of the weakest serves on tour. It's not like it's Rinderknecht against, I don't know, Hercash or something. Yeah. It's a strange line.
It makes no sense to me at all. Very surprised by that. But graphic man John, you were correct with 24.5. Looked at the Borges Wawrinka match. No odds just as yet. There will be 28-30.
It's around about
markets.
It's around about 2.15, I think. That's roughly what it will be. Certainly plus money anyway. So based on the clay court stats, which do favour Wawrinka over the last 12 months, and the fact that he starts quickly but doesn't end so well because of his age or whatever, I'm happy to take Stan. Opening set there, plus money.
Sean, what are your best bets? What are your picks, your official picks for the week?
So Bucharest, no outright yet, although I may change my mind on that in the coming days. The official pick, as I said a minute ago, Wawrinka to win the opening set against Borges. Let's say 2.15. I think that's roughly where that line will end up being. So just the one bet there in Bucharest. Munich, just the outrights at the moment. The weather forecast is dreadful there, so we're not sure what's going to go on. But Hanfmann each way 30-1, Struff each way at 12-1 in Munich, and in Barcelona there's just the one bet at the minute because we haven't got any outright odds at all, have we? So that was Zhang at I think he's 1.97, wasn't he, to beat Van Asher.
Yeah, stay across all of the Bet Rivers network for all the great tips we have in here. But also, most importantly, stay across the Bet Rivers website when the outright markets do come. There'll probably be a couple of hours after this podcast drops, this video drops. You'll get all the outright markets for Barcelona as well and some more prop markets that'll be on some of the matches we've spoken about in Bucharest as well. But remember, stay across all the network. You can follow us on Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. By downloading the podcast on your preferred podcast provider. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Betting Weekly Studios. And honestly, we've just tip Aston Villa to beat to Arsenal on there. It's a massive 10-1. We've got some great content coming up in the Champions League that being recorded tomorrow. The business end of the Champions League coming now in the soccer world. You have Arsenal. How are they going to pick themselves up from that, playing Bayern Munich? Bayern Munich obviously just lost the title. The Bundesliga title was lost for them today for the first time in many, many years. We've got the Manchester City, Real Madrid game finally poised at 3-3, and the conclusion of what has been a sensational Premier League title race as well. It's all up for grabs, and that is going to be covered for you across there on the Premier League show and Extra Time. And also you can keep across all the fantastic content we're doing on our socials, on our social page, on our Instagram page, and also on our Twitter page at Because We Win. Some of the videos there are fantastic. The content is really coming up. Make sure you give us any questions you want and there we'll answer the questions. But also, most importantly, subscribe to the Instagram account because some of the content there is fresh, it's exclusive, and it's cashing. In-play bets that are cashing week in, week out, day in, day out. Sean, thank you very much as always for joining me. It's been a bit of a disappointing one with no outright prices on Barcelona, but it's been a great afternoon for me on the tennis here, Constantine Everett, on the same time, just cashing Aston Villa beating Arsenal 2-0. Come on, the villains. Take care. Have a good day and good luck with all your bets over the next week or so. All the best.